Let me tell you about my latest obsession, and that obsession is the great tasting beef and meat that I have with my family for dinner, and that comes from Moink. Moink is the new meat delivery service that ships the best tasting grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and wild-caught Alaskan salmon direct to your door. They don't bleach their chicken like Big Ag or use antibiotics, hormones, or any other sorts of funk. Moink's animals are raised outdoors and their fish swim wild in the ocean. With Moink, you're saving the family farm while your family dines like royalty. And if you know me and I suffer from lack of funza, that is a big deal. But yet, even though it doesn't hit the wallet hard, you get to dine like royalty. Join the Moink movement today. Go to moinkbox.com/busted right now for a free ground beef for a year. That's right, free ground beef for a year. That's a pound of the finest ground beef on earth in every one of your Moink boxes for an entire year for free. Offer ends November 15th, spelled M-O-I-N-K, box.com/busted. Moinkbox.com/busted.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, Tommy Dreamer and I break down everything that happened from the Wednesday Night Wars, especially AEW winning week number two.
The ratings are in, and wow. Did AEW kick some NXT WWE butt?
Now, the war is still raging, but they definitely won the second battle. Also, we get into the WWE draft. What's going to happen tonight on SmackDown and what's going to happen Monday on Raw?
Listen how great my picks are, more so than Dave's.
And we also have a legend, a WWE Hall of Famer, Soul Man Rocky Johnson, joins us on today's edition of Busted Open.
A trailblazer and a man who broke barriers.
All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. A lot to get into today after what we talked about on the show yesterday. Bully and I talking a lot about AEW, talking about NXT, the Wednesday Night Wars. Week number one, while the both went head-to-head, a definitive win for AEW, and it sounds like from all the numbers that are being tallied now that, again, AEW has beat NXT. And actually, if you put all the numbers together, because they have the replay, almost 90% difference between AEW and NXT. Big number, again, for AEW, well over a million. NXT was under 800,000. So, once again, AEW with the victory. Do you think this gap will close? Do you think this gap will widen? Do you think it's going to be the same? What do you think about this Wednesday Night War right now? Does the numbers surprise you a little bit?
No, it does not surprise me for a lot of reasons. I watched both programs, and AEW has such a fun vibe to it. And everyone there is having such a good time. And for the longest time, wrestling fans have just wanted to see something different. It's not anything against the WWE, but, you know, there's at times also WWE has made fans, even up and recently, that Hell in a Cell, man. People have been really, really disappointed with some of the stuff going on at WWE. And we love our wrestling, and we just want to see something different. And AEW is offering something different right now. And it's a really fun event. I mean, that opening match with the Young Bucks and what are their names?
The Party. Private Party.
Private Party. Man, that was great. I loved that match. It was so exciting. And then Chris Jericho cutting a promo, not really scripted at all, and just Chris Jericho being Chris Jericho, introducing the characters, letting us know who they are,
yes,
and also engaging the audience. I mean, how many times do we see that, you know, where he's telling the people to be quiet, or, and it's just, it's a really, really fun show, and, you know, they really good wrestling and angles going forward, and they're establishing their characters. For me, I know who Walter is. I know who Kushida is.
Yep.
I have no emotional investment in them because I was not told anything about them or why they're really feuding. And it, the match was good, but it just didn't like, oh, I want to fight these guys. I want to watch these guys because I know why they're fighting.
Well, a couple of things from what you just said that I found very, very interesting. And maybe this is a big reason why we're getting the difference in ratings. Because you would think NXT would have a big head start being out there for a while. And a lot of people saying the best brand for the WWE. I thought this would be a little bit more successful on the USA Cable Network. I pretty much hit AEW on the nose since week one. I mean, before that debut episode, I thought that first episode was going to get the numbers that NXT are getting right now. And it's been completely in reverse because I thought NXT would be the show that we'd be talking about getting over a million viewers, but it's been completely the opposite. But a few things that what you said that I want to review.
Okay.
You mentioned Hell in a Cell and a lot of, obviously, negative feedback from Hell in a Cell. Bully said earlier in the week that he thought that there could be a little bit of that bad negative reviews that would kind of bleed into Wednesday night. Do you think because of that negative attention that maybe some people didn't watch NXT because of that reason? Because it had the quote-unquote WWE stink on it.
Yes. Listen, man, I know we joke about this. I'm a Giants, Jets, and Raiders fan.
Yes.
Those are my three teams for different reasons.
Because everybody has three teams.
Okay. However, last night, there's only one football game on. Mm-hmm. I love football. I love watching football. I'm a Giants fan. I saw the Giants. It was 14-21. Then they made two mistakes, and the score was like 28, and then it was 35. I turned off the game going into the fourth quarter, and I started watching something else. And that's my team that I support because, ugh, another bad play. Ugh, I didn't want to get back. Hey, maybe they should put Eli back there because Daniel Jones, I mean, and you could start speculating. They have all these different players hurt. It's the same with wrestling. It was like, I support it, but if you were going to make bad management decisions, I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, I get it. I get that.
Tonight is the draft. My greatest part about the draft, and I'm a big supporter of the draft. I was the last drafted on the first ever draft. Moppy was drafted ahead of me. But the fact that they stopped sticking to stipulations pisses fans off. What is the biggest talk about the NFL right now? The NFL is referees are not doing their job and all these bad calls. That's another management thing. Hey, NFL, you need to fix this or else guess what? Fans won't start tuning in.
Yeah.
I've been going to games like, oh, let them play the game, blah, 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 blah. Same with wrestling. They literally, in a Hell in a Cell, they stopped it because a guy hit a guy in the head with a sledgehammer or with a chair there. And it's like, okay, what about when Triple H did it? Okay, what about when you tried to kill Undertaker, tried to kill Mick Foley? And you could use all, what about when Randy Orton stuck a screwdriver in Jeff Hardy's ear? So you can't, then just don't book that. Don't paint yourself into either put one guy in, one guy out. But you can't say, hey, here's the draft, and you can only see guys on Raw, and you can only see guys on SmackDown. Then there's a wild card, only four people. And then literally fans, because it's different, fans like, there was seven people from, what happened to the four people wild card? Because then you're insulting your audience, and it's 2019, and you can't insult our audience.
I get that, and I'm hopeful that this draft, and we're going to get into the draft big time on the show today because you're going to get it tonight on SmackDown and Monday on Raw. So you do think, in a lot of ways, because of what's been happening on Raw, and I guess, you know, you can't call it the main roster, but the more premier shows is kind of bled into NXT. Let me take it from the other side. Is AEW getting these ratings because it's the new thing? Like, you know, this is the new company. It's brand new. It's like a new toy. You play with it, and then maybe at some point down the road, you disregard it. Is that going to be the issue with AEW, or do you think that this show each week is going to be the quality shows that we've seen week one and week two?
I believe they're going to keep on giving quality shows because a bunch of new pilots usually start in the fall. Mm-hmm. I watched one show, and I was 15 minutes in. I was like, I'm not going to watch this anymore. And I stopped watching it because I was like, I'm not going to get invested in this. It didn't make me laugh. And then I watched another show. I was like, I don't like the show. I'm not going to watch it. So for AEW, they're giving quality wrestling. They're giving quality storylines. They're giving quality production. They're giving a lot of, you know. And are they making some mistakes? Yes, but those are the growing pains that you're going to make. And I feel they're going to keep on delivering.
The last thing I want to bring up about these numbers, and again, AEW has a replay which actually garnered a lot of viewers. 300,000 more viewers added to their number. So their total was 1.5 million viewers, which was down roughly 18% from the last week. And then you look at what NXT was able to do, 790,000 viewers. And again, that bled into a third hour. So I actually thought that that rating would be higher because it bled into a third hour. If you factor in the replay, AEW beat NXT by 90%. That's, 90%, Tommy. This is a WWE product. This is AEW, which, if you think about it, a year ago was just a glimmer in someone's eye. Is it because there are stars on AEW and you don't have those quote-unquote stars on the NXT brand?
No, I mean, they brought in Finn Balor. There could be the tune-in factor of, man, I want to see Finn Balor wrestle. Will he appear again? There's nothing. Listen, man, NXT is a cool show. What will spawn this will be better wrestling, better storylines, better creative. This draft, I know Alex will tell us the rules, but he was telling me off the air about what's going to happen. So if you're not drafted, you're basically going to be either fired or you could be sent to NXT or maybe you go to House of Hardcore.
Well, you'll be technically, if you're not drafted, you're a free agent where you could sign with any show that you want.
That you want?
You could sign, you know, if nobody drafts you, you're a free agent. So you can go to any brand, so which includes NXT.
Yeah, well, I think that should happen and could give life to new people because there are people who dominated in NXT and it was fun in NXT and then they got lost on the main roster.
And you know what? That's that's interesting what you just said.
Because, full of that stuff.
Because according to WWE.com, any undrafted superstars will immediately be declared free agents and able to sign with the brand of their choosing.
Then you should hope not to get.
Yeah, so you don't want to be drafted.
That's because a stupid rule.
That would
be like. Think of all the controversy that happened back when John Elway didn't want to sign with Baltimore, and he was just like, "Oh, I'm not going to play for you." So basically, if you don't get drafted, you could sign with anybody.
Eli Manning did it too. He was drafted by the Chargers, refused to play for the Chargers, and then was traded to the Giants.
What if what if someone says, "I want to go to AEW"? Will that happen?
I don't think so, Tommy. I think that is something you won't see tonight on SmackDown or on Monday Night Raw next week.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Jericho, he's a trailblazer.
Yes, he is.
And here's what he did. He set the table for who he was with. He referenced The List, which made people even happy because we loved The List, and which was a great creative idea, which happened in WWE, and put over everybody that's going to be around him and basically said, hey, this is our stable. They're also sold T-shirts. That was funny when Excalibur said, I just got a text, go to ProWrestlingTees.com, and then they immediately were selling out. Stuff like that, man, it's cool. I study wrestling, man. I study this show for a lot of different reasons. And I think WWE needs to be studying it as well. And because if the ratings continue, I feel they'll pull out their biggest gun, who'll probably be Vince McMahon, who'll show up in NXT. Or if the ratings or the show quality keep keeping up, man, could you imagine if they start going like USA Network, going after Monday Night Raw numbers? That's whole next level.
Well, it's funny because Bully and I talked about that a lot before this debut on Wednesdays on USA for NXT about, man, imagine if they actually got ratings that were close to Monday Night Raw. Obviously, that's not happening yet. It's obviously not even close to what Monday Night Raw gets. But these ratings keep dropping. And if you look at it week by week now, because it's been, you know, more than just the 2 weeks that they've been going head-to-head with AEW, they were doing it for the first hour for a couple weeks before that. Do you ever see like an ECW situation happening? And when I say that is that, look how the WWE just bastardized ECW. I mean, you know, I'm watching Big Show and Ric Flair wrestling for the ECW championship, could Vince McMahon say, all right, Triple H, I gave you the wheel. I gave you your show. I gave you Wednesday nights for 2 hours on USA. And we're getting our ass handed to us by a brand new company. We're the WWE. We've dominated now for well over 20 years. And this is happening to us on Wednesdays. It's embarrassing. You know what? Give me the wheel. I'm taking over. Could that happen?
Anything can happen in the sense of, yes, it is. At the end of the day, it will always be Vince McMahon's company, even though Fox is involved and the USA Network's involved. But it's Vince McMahon's name on the company. And I'm sure Vince is a genius. And I'm sure he is waiting in the weeds to see what's happening. And like any, you know, good general manager or owner of a franchise, you wait and see. Like, you want your franchise to be the best. And it's so funny because, I mean, you look at how we were talking before about the draft and how do teams try to rebuild? Like, think of what the Dallas Cowboys, when they started their dynasty, how do they do it? They did it through the draft and they got all these picks. And when they got rid of their one player, Herschel Walker, and got all these draft picks, everyone's like, are you crazy? And then, oh, wait, it kind of worked out for them. So this draft, if they stay true to their word, which they are claiming that they are, can be very, very interesting for a rebuild. But, you know, I think the biggest thing, especially with wrestling fans, last week, man, was the greatest week of professional wrestling. You know, we got to experience so much greatness. Raw was fun. AEW NXT made us exciting. Both shows were good. And then SmackDown, man, SmackDown was awesome. It was fun show.
Till the end.
Hell in the Cell was a decent to good show.
I thought it was a very good show until the end.
Until the end. And but that, listen, and we'll say it as wrestlers, we'll say it as performers, people always remember the end.
Of course.
What'll trend? I saw the other day Dexter was trending and then Sopranos, the worst ending of a show, of a series. Hey, we love that show and then they screwed us, you know?
Yeah.
So you can't judge it by one bad call, and I think WWE will step up. Tonight on Fox will be one hell of a show. But I mean, we're just specifically talking AEW versus NXT, and AEW is a fun show. It's showing, like, Jericho's promo showed such personality, and then the Young Bucks, their match with Private Party had such great athleticism. There was just, they gave you so much. And then the main event was a solid main event too, with Jericho and Sammy versus Dustin and
the main event was a showcase.
Yeah.
And you got that high spot exciting match to start the show. AEW is showing that they're giving you a little bit of everything. You know, a lot of people accuse them of just being this younger company that has all these athletes that are athletic and don't know how to sell and don't know how to tell a story. I think they're proving everybody wrong because they're giving you a little bit of everything, but it's in a different way. It's a different type of presentation. And I think that's why right now there's a lot of buzz and still a lot of excitement around AEW.
Thanksgiving. If you ever look at Thanksgiving, what is the first thing we all do at Thanksgiving? They set the table and everyone looks at, oh, look at the table. It looks so nice.
Yeah.
And then I put the nice plates, the napkins, silverware. I put the salad dress. Then they bring out the turkey. Look at that presentation. Nowadays, everyone takes pictures and posts on Instagram. It makes me hungry. But it's the final presentation and then we go and eat. So, and we all enjoy the meal, then we watch football, blah, blah, blah. Where I'm going with this is AEW's presentation. You know what I love? Justin Roberts' voice. And I also love that I get to see who Justin Roberts is, and he's making those annoying. I hear Jim Ross. I know him.
Yeah.
I hear Excalibur. I hear Tony Schiavone. Those are the side pieces to the big turkey.
You need a side piece, let's face it.
Absolutely. That they're the stuffing. They're the salad. They're the gravy. It's big stuff. Big match feel, big show feel. And then the performers are going out there and then they're being the turkey. Like, wow, I love that. And then at the end, here comes the dessert. And oh, look, grandma made her special pierogies. Oh my God, I love eating pierogies, even though it's not Thanksgiving. Or if you're Italian, here comes the pasta. Oh my God, I can't wait to eat more. That's what they're giving us.
But
it's that presentation. You know what's the best to me, because I watch wrestling differently? You know what I sit back and watch and I say, my God, their referees are amazing. Bryce Remberg, Aubrey, and Paul, they have the best referees right now. And those are some things that nobody will ever watch except for Crazy Tommy Dreamer. But sit back and watch how great those referees are. And they give credibility. They're the side pieces. They're the side dressing to this great meal known as AEW.
Well, I'll say
this. Now I'm hungry.
My two favorite shows, well, NWA is creeping up, believe me, after that hour that I saw on Tuesday.
That's not on television. That's on the YouTube.
Well, but I watch it on my TV.
Okay,
smart TV. People have smart TVs now.
Really?
So. Yes. Now, but NXT and AEW are just tremendous shows, and I think both those shows have the best commentators. They really do. When you look at Mauro, Beth Phoenix, and Nigel McGuinness for NXT, and then with AEW, Excalibur, Jim Ross, who's the greatest of all time. And I have to say this right now, the MVP has been Tony Schiavone. Schiavone has been lights out these last 2 weeks.
Yep. Even if you look at the end of AEW, man, they had the run-ins, they had all that stuff going on, like, you know, they layered it great where here came the next guy and then he got cut off. When MJF hit that ring with that chair and when they had that pause, people were like, no. We are 2 weeks into a television show and everyone is so emotionally invested in MJF and Cody Rhodes' friendship. It's been 2 weeks. How did they establish this friendship? Through social media. They're all saying, man, MJF, who is a heel, but yet he's friends with Cody, who is a babyface. How is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? What's going to happen? They're more emotionally invested in this than a Sasha and Bayley. And it's only been 2 weeks. And for Sasha and Bayley, we've seen their friendship since NXT. So, I mean, think of that. That's heavy, heavy stuff. Because when he hit that ring, the place exploded and everyone then went, they thought it was a setup.
Yep. Well, they're waiting for that to happen.
Oh,
they know MJF's about. So they're waiting for that moment, and the fact that it hasn't happened is where you get that emotional. It's like, well, what? Because now people are buying into MJF a little bit. Maybe this is a true friendship. Just got his ass kicked for Cody. So maybe he does have a love and friendship for Cody Rhodes.
And for wrestling fans, it's also that emotional involvement because, you know, a lot of times in WWE, you're not allowed to acknowledge the fans. And when Jericho is like, shut up, boo. And then it was a bad creative. Yay! You know, they're making them part of the show. Me and Bubba will always talk about, you know what the best part about ECW was? The fans. And they were a big part of the show. And we catered to the fans in the sense of we did everything that we could to entertain them. And I feel AEW's doing that. NXT has some parameters that I feel will need to change. I mean, it's just, I keep saying this, it's such an amazing time, but AEW, in my opinion, is delivering an overall fun show. And what do I don't want to go to a movie and cry. I don't want to go to a movie. I want to go to a movie to be entertained. And I'm entertained when I watch AEW. I am entertained when I watch NXT, but if I'm comparing the two and they're both great, I'm just going to go watch this. Giants and Jets are playing at the same time. I'm going to watch the better game.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This year, I have high hopes of how this draft is going to pan out. Now, to give the rules of what's going to happen on the WWE side for SmackDown tonight and Raw on Monday night, I bring in the great Alex Metz.
Gentlemen, the draft is here. Here are the rules as sent out by WWE yesterday on the draft. More than 70 superstars, including tag teams, have been placed into this year's WWE draft pool. 30 superstars will be eligible to be drafted on SmackDown tonight, while 41 superstars will be eligible on Monday Night Raw next week. So basically what that means is that there are only 29 superstars confirmed in tonight's pool that are eligible to be drafted. They have placed the other 39 wrestlers in the Raw pool for Monday night. I guess they're trying to do this to sort of break it up so that, you know, it's not a complete, all the top guys aren't drafted on the same night. They want to give, you know, some shine to both shows, which makes sense.
And one's 2 hours and one's 3 hours.
Correct.
So,
since Friday Night SmackDown is a 2 hour show and Monday Night Raw is a 3 hour show, for every 2 SmackDown picks, Raw will get 3. Tag teams will count as one pick unless Fox or USA Network specifically wants to pick one superstar from the team. So I guess that's at the discretion of whoever is going to be making these picks. And finally, any undrafted superstars will immediately be declared free agents and able to sign with the brand of their choosing. Now notice how it doesn't say with either Raw or SmackDown. It says the brand of their choosing.
And from what everything I've read, that means and includes NXT.
Correct.
Okay. So a few things from what you just said, Alex, and thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Interesting, and this goes back to a point Bully made, because Bully says he loves Asuka and wishes Asuka was a singles wrestler who's wrestling now with Kairi Sane. Now they're champions, so maybe it doesn't apply here, but it says tag teams will count as one pick unless Fox or USA specifically wants to pick one superstar from that team. So Fox may say, you know what, I want Asuka, but we're not interested in Kairi Sane. So you know what, that tag team is no more because we want Asuka. That's interesting to me. This draft could break up tag teams. We've seen that in the past with D-Von and our own Bully Ray.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around some of these rules here.
Well, let's work through it, Tommy. What do you have some questions about?
So for every, so basically tonight on SmackDown on Fox, the Fox robot is going to pick, let's say, Becky Lynch and Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. So well, that means the USA Network gets 3 picks.
Well, that is how it's sort of in your head it's being laid out here. But Dave and I were kind of talking about this before the show. You know, if Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins is the first match on tonight's SmackDown, and that's going to determine which brand gets the number one pick. Raw being represented by Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns being represented for, you know, for SmackDown. So if, say, Roman Reigns wins the match and SmackDown gets the number one pick, do they pick two guys right away? Or will it be sort of like a snake draft thing where Raw will then just pick back-to-back picks to make up for that extra pick?
That's something we have to find out, because that's major.
Yeah.
Because, like, let's just say,
because then you could technically load up with two top guys right off the bat.
Or if Seth Rollins wins, the Raw gets the first 3 picks in the draft.
Right.
Like,
absolutely.
That's crazy.
That's horrible.
That's horrible. So they got to think of a way that makes sense and is credible. Because let's just say you're the Raw general manager.
Who okay. is the Raw general manager?
Well, I mean, the executives are a part of this now. The Fox and USA executives are part of this. There is no more general manager.
One note from this press release from the WWE yesterday. It says, for the first time, executives from Fox and USA Network have direct influence over the WWE draft, as it will determine the superstars competing for either Raw or SmackDown. So that tells me we're kind of done with this quote-unquote authority or sort of general managers like Shane McMahon.
So this is going to be like, you know, like a real, like an NFL draft, where the NFL, each team has like a war room where there are multiple people talking about who they should pick. They got the bulletin board and they're like, all right, who would be a good fit for this? I would think that's going to be like that, because if the executives have an influence, it would be kind of cool if we watch tonight that Raw and SmackDown have a war room. And they're actually, you know, arguing, and, you know, you see Paul Heyman in there talking to a USA executive about, hey, we need to take Roman Reigns. No, we need Seth.
That
That'd be fun.
Happen. Yeah, but they have never acknowledged that it was Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman helping write the shows. So that won't happen. I think it's going to be the Fox robot and Bonnie Hammer.
Well, there are going to be a ton of celebrities that are going to be a part of this.
Or Late Night with Rhonda. Remember her?
No. Maybe.
You remember that? What was her name? Late Night. She had a late night show on USA Network. Rhonda Shear. Late Night with Rhonda.
Oh, yeah. Who was a part of WrestleMania.
Yeah. So maybe they'll bring her back. Late Night with Rhonda Shear.
That's right. She was a part.
She had it on the USA Network.
She was a part of WrestleMania. Good call.
Versus Tom. The Fox robot. They make the calls. My first pick is Roman Reigns. Ba-da-da, ba-da-da.
Yeah, they won't pick Seth Rollins.
Dave, do you guys think, and just by reading this press release, that this draft is going to look completely different than any other draft we've seen from the WWE in the past, as it goes with, quote, a star-studded celebrity lineup of Fox and NBC Universal personalities, including A-Rod, Michael Che, Colin Jost, Christian Slater, Troy Aikman, Joe Buck, and Jim Cramer all being a part of this draft tonight somehow?
And our own Daryl Moose Johnson, yeah, who's been on the show previously, is a part of this as well. So, and obviously they're going to be a part of it because there are Fox superstars and superstars, like you said, the USA NBC family. So are they going to be, I guess they're going to do just like we see with the NFL draft, where they have former players come out.
They should
to
make it real.
The draft. That's what they're going to do here. They're going to have Gorga from the Real Housewives of New Jersey, you know, and then Gorga comes out. And
hey, but what if you think, what if those people come out and they're the people who are making the picks? They do that in the draft too. There's a lot of great places you can go to do this. I don't know who Gorga is, but Golga, if he comes back, I'd really pop for.
Did you mean Melissa Gorga, Dave?
Yeah, Melissa Gorga. When you're friends with her, you just call her by her last name.
I prefer Golga.
Gorga. Rodney Harrison, Chris Sims.
Now, are these guys going to be actually making picks for Raw or SmackDown?
I don't know. I'm trying. I actually texted Moose. I need to know. Because maybe he knows.
Well, maybe they could do analysts on it. But you know what? If it's making it real or a more real sports feel, that's good. This is what this show does. This is what AEW does. We're giving a more realistic view to professional wrestling because, hell, it's all over social media. Hell, you have to adapt with the times. And if Fox show last week was good, and it would be, I watched the Monday Night Football not Monday Night Football. One of the football games they had with Fox. What channel's that on? It was on Sundays. Yeah, how am I doing? And they had the WWE talent there. I'm all over the place. They had the WWE talent there, and they were talking. Roman Reigns was there. He was talking. I saw another game. Becky Lynch was talking. Michael Strahan, who's got more personality than anybody, he's talking about wrestling. But if you could give your analysis of why this is a good pick, that's great.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
He's a WWE Hall of Famer, and now he's an author, Soul Man, and he joins us right now, Rocky Johnson. Rocky, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you all doing?
Rocky, this is Tommy Dreamer. How are you, sir?
Oh, have I met you before?
A million times. Come on now.
Yeah, I know. Tommy, how you doing, brother? Good talking to you. I haven't talked to you in a long time. How you been?
I'm doing great. What are you doing? Riding horses down in Florida? Don't you got a new hip, new knee, new everything?
We moved from Weston, and we moved down past Tampa out in Lutz, and I'm just sitting here working out, playing around with the horses and trying to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, trying to do some writing, and hopefully, eventually, I can write a movie or something.
That's it. Well, if there is anyone to do it, a man who was revolutionary in his time in professional wrestling, it's you, sir. So before me and Dave were talking, where did you first start wrestling?
I started wrestling when I was born. I was born in Amherst, Nova Scotia, Canada. And I started boxing there. And I left at 15 and went up to Toronto, Canada. And I went and joined Jack Wentz Wrestling School in Hamilton, Toronto. But the story is there, I was at the Trinity Recreation Center working out, and I was boxing, and it was a big snowstorm, and I was the only fighter that showed up, and it was a guy named Boley, and he was wrestling, and he had nobody to work out with. So I said, hey, kid, come on in now, show you a few holes. I didn't know I was just being used for, you know, punching bag, but he was a real nice guy, and showed me a couple moves, and then I got hooked on it. So we used to have the boxing ring from 7:30 until 9, and they had it from 9 until 10:30. So I used to wait around and got to know him, and I asked him, I said, hey, how do I get into wrestling? And he told me how, and I went over to wrestling school and stayed there for a while and picked up the trade and caught on. I guess they said I caught on pretty good, and Whipper Watson, you know, was a former world champion and all that, and he liked me and brought me down and put me on TV.
The first time I remember actually reading about you and your career is when you were in the feud with Jerry the King Lawler over in Memphis. Was that kind of like the big jump in your career?
No, it wasn't, because it did in itself. But I was in Texas at the time, and the thing with Jerry Lawler all started. You remember when Ollie fought Inoki?
Yes.
Well, Lawler got the same idea, and he knew I had a boxing background. I sparred with Ollie, George Foreman, all those guys. And he got in touch with me to come in. He said, "We got this idea." I go, "Well, what's the idea?" He goes, "You know, boxer versus wrestler." I said, "Okay." And we went in, but we built it up right. I went in 5 Wednesdays for TV. Then we had the big mass boxer versus wrestler. It sold out. And then he had called me from Texas and wanted me to come in. So I said, okay, but you know, you got to make it worth my while. We worked out a deal and I went in, and then I beat Lawler for it. I was the first American or African-Canadian, whatever you want to call me, to win the Southern title. So we really pushed on that, and I worked the whole program with him for like 9 months.
How did you deal? Because I mean, the wrestling world has changed, the regular world has changed, but you becoming famous as a black man during times where racism was rampant. Not that it's not rampant today, but it's just...
But it's more hidden today.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you asked that question, because I'm going to bring that up. When I went in and I won the title, and, I couldn't stay in different hotels. I'd go in and ask for a room. They say they were full. I knew they weren't. I had a van at the time, so I slept in the van and all that. But I never was mad or upset. I knew I could get better, and I knew. And I just talked to Jerry yesterday, and he said I was kind of the one that did the crossover, where not only the blacks liked me, but the whites started to. And then that's when I became I went all through the South, and I'm not bragging or blowing my own horn, but I was the first black Southern champion. I was the first black Georgia champion, first black Texas champion, first black Florida champion. It's all in my book. It goes around. But I had that determination, you know.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I wasn't going to get mad, and I wasn't going to get upset, because I figured at that point I was just defeating myself. I knew I could, and I said, someday I'm going to be world champion. It took me almost 20 years, but I did become world champion. But that was very, very hard in those days. But I found the blacks were more bitter than the whites. And I say that, not no disrespecting anybody. I say that to the fact that everybody I talk to, they're going, well, your grandfather had my grandfather a slave. You know, I walked on my toes. I walked frontwards. I didn't walk on my heels to walk backwards. And I would tell them, you got to let all that go. That's 100 years ago. So that was my philosophy.
Was it a difficult time? Because, like, as you said, you were able to break those barriers. In the territory system at that time, especially the late 70s, early 80s, when they would only have, like, one black wrestler on the roster, they would only push one black wrestler at that time. So was there kind of those incidents with racism going into a territory where there was already a black superstar on the roster?
Well, because what it was in those days, and you know, Tommy Dreamer, you know as well as I know that in those days, if you went to Texas, you had to have a Mexican because you had a population. If you went to the South, you had to have a black wrestler. If you went up here, you know, and there wasn't that many in the business at that time that were, I would consider, top main event workers. I'm not saying I was the best. I'm not saying, but I was in the right place probably at the right time because I worked hard. Now, when I went into Tennessee, we had 3 black wrestlers in there. I'm not going to name them because I don't want to put them down or anything. But they did the things like eating watermelon on TV and coming out and getting whipped. And I said, no, this is not me. I came in as an athlete and I'm going to leave as one. And they respected that.
Wow, I didn't know about that. That's amazing. I remember Tar and Feathering. That was a racist thing.
Oh, yeah, they lost their TV. They took Burrhead Jones
and
put him on TV, and they poured molasses on him. Then they cut a pillow and put feathers on him, and then the guy come in with a lighter like he was going to send him a Tar and Feather him.
Wow.
And I said, no, I'm in the wrong place. So they never ever, they treated me with respect. I got respect because I gave respect back.
Well, you also earned it. I mean, being a phenomenal worker.
I earned it, and I worked for it. And if I had a problem, I didn't sit in the dressing room and tell anybody. I went right to the promoter. At that time, it was Nick Goulas and Jerry Jarrett. I was there when he made the split. And I told him, this is the problem. I'm leaving. No, what's the matter? And I would speak up. But the other guys I found, they were they wouldn't speak up. They wouldn't say anything. They were content. And I said, you guys, you're not going to go no place. And you don't realize people are laughing at you. And that's why you're getting treated this way.
You know, you were an amazing singles wrestler, but a lot of people remember you as a tag team wrestler, and they probably remember your years in the WWF when you tag team with Tony Atlas. But you tagged with everybody, like you said, from Georgia to Continental Wrestling, all over the NWA, Pacific Northwest. Was there a favorite tag team partner of yours?
I think Jerry Briscoe was one of the ones that was. Dusty and him, but there was a reason behind that you really don't know, because when you come into a territory, I came into the Florida when Buddy Colt had that plane accident and the territory had dropped, and they had Dusty Rhodes as the big star. God bless him. He's a friend of mine. I loved him to death, but they weren't drawing nothing. So here I came in, Jim Barnett sent me in, and I'm not saying it again that I have the big head or anything, but I came in with a style they never seen. I came in with the boxing, the jabbing, the kip-ups, the drop kicks, and then right away, he became my partner, you know? That's not that awesome. I asked for him, but, you know, and then everything, the interview was me and the Rocker, and I never met him until I came in here, but I understood that, you know what I mean?
Yes, I mean, because of your talent. I wish half the baby faces today had the fire that you have in your career, because I think that's a lot what's missing in today's wrestling, and people get behind that. People got behind your comeback. People got behind everything that you did.
Right now, there's no comeback. You don't know who's a heel, who's a babyface. One guy's going 6 feet in the air. The other guy's going 8 feet. The other guy's 10 for no rhyme or for no reason. And I helped open the first SmackDown Wrestling Academy in Davie for WWE. And I would say to those guys, why did you do that move? Oh, well, because I knew how to do it. They just didn't know how to place it together like a jigsaw puzzle, you know. And I think a lot of them today work hard. They want to get over, but they don't have the psychology, because you cannot teach psychology. I can take a 5-year-old kid. I can teach him arm drags. I can teach him headlocks. I can teach him anything. But you've got to have psychology. I used to set at night and think about what I could do next, what I got to do next. I'll give you an example if you got a minute.
Of course.
I went to L.A. and I watched these Mexican wrestlers at 160 pounds doing backflips on the top rope, and I weighed 250, 260. I said, I know I can do that. So I go to the YMCA. I get on a diving board. I put pants on the shirt. I kept doing backflips, landing on my face, landing on my stomach, until I finally learned how to land on my feet. And then when I went into the auditorium in L.A. and did that, people thought I was from outer space. They never seen anybody 250 pounds that could do that. But it all comes from hard work, determination. This business, everybody's complaining, well, I shouldn't be doing this. I should be on main event. I think you have to earn it, and you have to work your way up.
Is there a moment in your career that you're most proud of?
Yes. One, and you will not believe this, and I will take this to my grave with me. Of all the guys in this business, how many can say one of my last matches was with my son before he ever became famous? It was Rocky and the Rock Johnson. We wrestled a tag team in Bahamas.
That's awesome. I mean, because Tommy, you know, in the sports world, everybody talks about the Manning family and, you know, how Archie Manning with his son, two sons, being able to move on to the NFL and win Super Bowls. It's the same thing with you, Rocky. I mean, to become a champion and then watch your son become the biggest star in the company and become a champion, future Hall of Famer. I mean, you got to be very proud of that.
Oh, I'm proud. I have two other children. I have a son and a daughter. When I was young, Wanda and Curtis, and I'm proud of them too, but they were in a different field. Dwayne, when he had come home from playing football, and he said, Dad, I want you to train me in wrestling. I did everything in my power to discourage him, because I didn't want him going through what I went through. But now he'll say my dad was a pioneer. I didn't want him going through all the prejudices, all this and all that. I said, okay, I'm going to train you, but I'm going to train you 150%.
So if he's the Rock, sorry.
Right. And I trained him hard, and I was probably harder on him than I would have been on somebody that I trained that I didn't really know.
Well, that's because it's your boy and you love him.
I wanted to bring the best out of him. And I'll give you an example. He was clowning around one day at the gym, and we were training. And I said, look. And he got a little sassy. I said, look, if you want sympathy, go home to your mother and get it. So he goes, that's exactly where I'm going. He walked a mile and a half home in the rain. He went home, told his mother, Dad's trying to kill me. He wouldn't speak to me for a week. He wouldn't speak to me for about a week and a half. But I didn't say anything to him. When he got ready, he said, Dad, can I talk to you? I said, sure. We sat down and we talked. We apologized. I said, now, this is the wrestling business. Do you just want to be a curtain jerker, which means you want to be in the first match, you want to be middle, or do you want to be a champion? I believe everybody's has championship material in them. You just got to learn how to bring it out.
I was trained by Johnny Rods, and he used to stretch me.
Oh, I worked with Johnny Rods 100 times. Good friend of mine.
And he used to stretch me.
You know the story. You have to respect this business. You have to train. And what you put in is what you're going to get out.
Absolutely. And I was going to say.
A lot of wrestlers are content. The black boots, the black tights, and first match. And they can go tell everybody I'm a wrestler and could care less. You know, I lived it. And this was my living. This was my dream. And I was like Martin Luther King. I had that dream that I knew someday I was going on top of that mountain.
And you did. And if I was just going to say, if your son is the Rock, you're the mountain because you're the man who gave us the foundation.
He said, Dad, I don't know if I could go what you went through because I know what you went through and you were a pioneer and I paved the road. And thank God he's never forgot it. And that's why he's so great and he's so humble today.
Yeah, and I'm a fan of his. I love his show Ballers on HBO. And there was an episode a couple of seasons ago that he wore a Rocky Johnson shirt, Soul Man Rocky Johnson. How the hell did I get a hold of that shirt? Like as soon as I saw the episode, I'm Googling it. I mean, how do I find that? Could you ask him to give me that shirt?
I need that shirt. I got a whole garage full. I'll give you my address. I mean, send me your when I get off the phone, I'll give you to my wife. Give me your address and I'll send them to you. I got a whole garage full of Rocky Soul Man Johnson shirts out here.
Do you have like a website where you could buy them?
No, but you know, the way everybody's asking, I'm going to send you a couple, but the way everybody's asking, I should set up one.
I'll tell you what, I'll sell them for you.
T-shirt and a book.
You know what? That sounds like a deal. When we get through with this conversation, you have my phone number. You can call me and we'll talk with my wife and we can work them out.
I can get the
shirts anytime. I can get them made up anytime I want.
I love it. What was it like going into the Hall of Fame for you? I mean, you know, you were everywhere, like we talked about in Memphis and Georgia and Texas, but what was it like for you? You know, it's been a decade now going into the WWE Hall of Fame.
It was great. And then, when you go into the Hall of Fame, that's your last hurrah, but you know, it was great that you get recognized as a Hall of Famer. I never considered myself a Hall of Famer. I never got in this business to be a Hall of Famer, but it was great. But it took me around the world. I walked in the pyramids of Egypt. I've wrestled in England. I've wrestled in France. I've wrestled in Arabia. I've wrestled all over. It took me all around the world. But you know, when you're standing up there, it's an emotional because it's your last speech, and you know, the next time, like I said, the next time you see me, it'll be a TV tape. You know, because, you know, this is it. But I was very happy, very proud, still have my ring, still have my plaque that I plan on passing down to generations. And the good thing is about it, my first pair of boots when I wasn't making any money, I finally got them bronze, so I'm going to leave those. And maybe 100 years from now, they can say, well, this was my great-great-great-grandfather's boots.
Awesome.
Like
awesome.
The Jack Johnson story, you know?
I love it. The name of the book is called Soul Man, The Rocky Johnson Story by Rocky Johnson with a foreword by The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. It's going to be available, I believe, in October, correct?
It's going to be available on October the 15th.
October 15th. I can't wait. Rocky, always great talking.
You
hope
know what?
To run into you again.
Can I now anoint October 15th as
Rocky Johnson
Appreciation
Absolutely.
Day? Absolutely. I love it. And again, I'm just saying this. If you're a wrestling fan, buy the book. If you don't, you're going to go to hell. So if you want to save your soul, buy Soul Man by Rocky Johnson.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.